Hey, it's your host, Abigail Pumphrey, and I'm on a personal mission to help more small business owners become financially free. I like to nerd out on all things business, marketing, and most definitely the numbers. I'm talking all the lessons learned as I turned a layoff into a seven-figure online business. I like to share it all, and no conversation is off the table. We talk actionable strategies, biz challenges, and all the things life throws your way. Grief, anxiety, loss, and resilience are all topics you'll find here. So grab a cup of coffee and settle in because you're listening to the Strategy Hour podcast, brought to you by Boss Project. Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. Today on the show, we have Rachel Rogers. She is a woman of color, a mother of four, and a seven-figure business owner, in that order. Rachel started her career working on the Hill with nonprofits, federal judges, and Hillary Clinton. She then realized she could change the world and make it so much easier if she had more cash in her bank account. Now she is helping other people build million-dollar businesses and teaching so many women and marginalized groups how to do the same. Guys, epic episode. Prepare yourselves.
We had Rachel on earlier, late last year, but we're on having her back again, talking about her amazing book. We finally got our pre-order copy. We were able to read it, digest it. Our moms both stole our copy from us so they could read it. And we kind of pick apart our favorite parts of her book that you guys can pre-order right now. It's amazing. It's not only mindset around all of our weird money issues that we are taught that we have ingrained in our brains and our minds and how we function day to day, but the book is divided up in a really cool part where the second part is just, it's literally pure action. Activities you can do, small homework assignments, different reframes of literal like sentences you've been telling yourselves of how you can rewrite that sentence to better your headspace and how to grow and move forward, whether you have a business or just want to be a literal millionaire. I hope this episode gives you the tactics, but also the inspiration knowing that there's some pretty kick-ass people in your corner rooting for the crazy wild goals that you have. We want to see you crush them. I know Rachel wants to see you crush them. Maybe grab a notebook for this episode because there might be some ideas that you jot down, and definitely go grab a copy of the book.
Yeah, go grab We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers. It's anywhere books are sold, but we have a special link for you at bossproject.com/millionaire. And if you stay till the end, Rachel shares a specific link where she has some special bonuses set up for anybody who grabs a copy of her book. Hey, Rachel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm so excited to hang out with y'all.
Yeah, girl, I got a copy of your book and I haven't been able to put it down or stop talking about you since, like, literally you're the topic of conversation at dinner almost every night the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've just been like absorbing all the things. And I think there's so many amazing different things happening in this book that I've just not seen from other entrepreneurial minded or even self-help books. I think this is so different. It's so actionable. And before we like dive into the whole thing, I want to tell you the thing that like took me right away was at the very beginning of the book, you had quite a few different stats. You'd obviously done your research on like how people were making money. And there was two stats that I found extremely alarming. And I just want to quote them because I think they're so important. You had one, according to Magnify Money, that was about $100,000 households. And on average, people only had 2% left or $2,000 worth of disposable income, which means they're one emergency away from a financial disaster.
And similarly, like on contrast, I should say, in a 2018 study, only 1.7% of women owned businesses made more than $1 million in revenue, according to Women's Business Enterprise National Council. Like the two of those in combination, I was like, oh Lord, we have a problem and we need to address this on an epic scale. I'd love to hear more about what led you to writing this book and what kind of research you poured into your initial findings.
Yeah. Well, I'm honored to be the topic of dinner discussion. So that's fabulous. Thank you. It's so funny because that stat around only 2% of women entrepreneurs, that has not changed in 2 decades. You know, it has not moved an inch. In fact, it went down for a little while, even lower than 2%. I think it's like 1.7 or something now. And there were other stats that I've seen over the years that talk about how the majority of women entrepreneurs make 25K or less. And I was like, this can't be real. This cannot be real. Total revenue. I'm not talking about what they pay themselves. I'm talking about the total revenue of the business. I saw this stat really early on in my career. I just came across it reading something and I was just like, this is horrific. And I've really actually just built my whole career around solving that stat, really making money for myself, helping others make money as an attorney. I did this and then moving into business coaching, like really just supporting women entrepreneurs to build successful and sustainable businesses. And I actually have more detail now because there's census data and IRS data that shows that 72% of women entrepreneurs make less than 50K in annual revenue. So a lot of us are starting businesses and a lot of us are not making a lot of money doing it. And so I want to solve that problem. And I think it starts with stop shooting for 6 figures because it's not enough, you know, like shoot for more than that. Like, yes, shoot for 6 figures as an initial benchmark, but then we need to go further because if you get to 6 figures, you realize it's a ton of work. You can't hire a team yet and you're very busy. And so if you want to get beyond that, like, there are different moves that you need to make. There's a different mindset shift that you need to have. Like, you can muscle your way to 6 figures. To 7 figures, you got to have more strategy, right? You're not going to get there just through muscling. And so I wanted to provide that strategy and I wanted to feel realistic for people. I want them to stop being like, well, if ever, you know, that'd be nice to be a millionaire. And I'm like, no. It is so doable these days. Like, this is 100% within the realm of possibility.
I couldn't even wrap my head around this when I started as an entrepreneur. Like, getting to the initial 6 figures was a huge deal for me at the time. And especially watching just like the family dynamic we had, having even that level of income was life changing. And so, but it wasn't until I was on the other side of it, like how quickly that can also not just go away, but like be spent on just living in.
I think that's a lesson, Abby, you and I learned early on because we reached 6 figures really quickly in our business, especially once we partnered. And then we doubled that really quickly. And I think we still woke up and looked around and we're like, this is not enough. Like, it's not enough for what we have now, for what we want to do, for the change we want to make. And I think the first level of like change that our brains had to go through at that mindset, that game in life is, not only were we making more than literally anyone in our entire family had ever made in their life, and would continue to make, but this isn't enough. What does that mean about me? What does that mean about my family? What does that mean about the goals that I want or the life I want to live? So I think it took for me a couple more years of continuing to work and continuing to make more, but kind of come to terms with what does money actually mean for me and for us?
Yes. Yes. That's why those statistics were so important to share for me, because I wanted people to understand why. I wanted them to have context for why 7 figures and 6 figures. I mean, that Money Magnify study was done like in cities in Tennessee, not Nashville, like smaller cities. Like, they were looking at cities all over the country that these are not San Francisco and New York City that we think of when we think expensive. No, these are regular old cities throughout the country where still 100K is not enough. And $2,000, like, I've been there. I have stories that are in this book about being in that situation where my level of risk, right, was so minimal, like that I was $2,000 away from a huge, like, disruption to my financial life.
Right. Your initial story about your childhood and you talking through in my eyes, like you were comfortable for a large chunk of your early childhood. And then it was all kind of snapped away in what felt like an instant. And I so resonated with that. Both my parents are and have been on disability for a long time. And we were middle class for most of my early childhood. And then in high school, we were almost at a poverty level seemingly overnight. And so hearing your story, I was like in tears. This is me. I've been in your shoes, Rachel. I know what it feels like to feel so hopeless in a situation, especially as a child going through such a huge shift and then having to relearn what it's like to think of yourself as possible, to do more, to break out of this cycle, to like get away from the poverty mindset that you're surrounded by. And you had some amazing examples. You talked about your Aunt Shelley and your Aunt Barbara as examples of wealth. But I'm curious, for people that maybe didn't have these like solid examples growing up,
or who don't see people in their lives as those examples.
Yeah, they're like perhaps more outside. Like the closest thing they have is been watching a season of Dream Home Makeover on HGTV or listening to celebrity gossip. Like they don't have a solid example of someone down the street, someone they can call. Like, what about them? How can we give them hope that they're made for so much more? Yeah, to read this book, girl.
Well, that's exactly why I wrote it. That's why I put my face on the cover. And that's why I share these personal stories that, like, when I was going through editing and even doing the audiobook, like, I was getting all choked up again, just like about some of these stories. But I share them because I want them to see that, you know, it's possible for them. That's the whole point. I am at a place where I'm actually uncomfortable continuing to talk about how much money I make, right? Like it gets to a point where you're just kind of like, well, people probably gonna hate me if I keep talking about how much money I make. And I'm like, despite that, I'm going to keep doing it because there's a little Black girl somewhere who's watching and who's gonna be like, damn, she grew up poor and I don't quite have a lot of money and you know, whatever, I could do it too if she could do it. And that's, I want them to see that because there's so many examples of all these money books are written by older white men. Sometimes they're written by affluent white women, right? Who are always like a size two, you know? And it's like, there's uh-huh. like a specific type that they will let, right? Like the publishers will traditionally publish a book about money, right? And I wanted to show these massive amounts of entrepreneurs that are building businesses, you know, opening businesses at high rates now, that you don't have to look like that. You could be different. You could have a different story and you can still make it happen.
Well, it's been incredible to watch. And I look up to you so much. And I love that you can be an example for so many people. Because I think more than anything, this whole industry needs that. Not just kids, but like even our peers, like there has traditionally not been a prominent woman of color leading women and marginalized groups to more wealth. Like that, there just hasn't been. And I'm watching you dominate a space that is so necessary and so previously underserved. And I love that you can be an example for so many people. Like, what a powerful role, but also just, I think the book is not just about giving you hope. It's about giving you tangible strategies to work through the mind fuck that's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah. that you can have the right mindset to move forward, but also make the right decisions to move forward.
Well, and an activity that we all have done, Rachel, I think you'll find this really funny, is I shared before we hit record that both of our moms actually stole our copy of the book, our pre-order copy of the book, moms, and started going through it and reading it. And then my mom did the exercise where do you tally up what your millionaire life could look like and what is that actually going to cost you on a month-to-month basis so you can find what's the difference that you need to make. And so not only did my mom do it, and she very excitedly called me last night and told me what she needed. And then, of course, we brainstormed ways for that to happen. But Abby and I decided to do it on our own. So what was interesting for us inside Boss Project, and I feel like you have had this similar thing happen in your space, but we made the six figures and then we, you know, humble brag. This whole podcast episode is going to be humble brag for all of us, I feel like, but there's lessons in between all of the humble brags of you get to the six figures and you're like, okay, I got that. And then you double that and you're like, okay, I got that. And then like, it's like a screeching halt of getting past that point. And it's lessons that need to be learned mentally more than I ever thought to get past that point. It's different strategies that are needed to get past that point. And so Abby and I, when we were sitting down at the beginning of this year planning goals for Boss Project, we literally were like, what's the point of more money if we don't know why we want it, if we don't know why we need it, if we don't know where it's going? We know that we're going to make what we've made and that feels great and we're making more money than we ever thought we could make and we've got the things. After this just feels like a greedy need of money. Is that the wall that we've hit? There has to be more past that. And so when we read your book, it helped tremendously with a lot of that headspace, but that activity in particular, Abby sat down with her husband and did it. I sat down with my husband and we did it because we needed to personally know in our own personal lives, what's the point? What's it for? What do we want to be doing and using it for? And I think it gave so much clarity for Abby and I to then be excited again about setting bigger goals for Boss Project and excited again about working a little bit harder here, putting a little bit more energy here, because it wasn't just for the sake of just more money for more money. And so I think for so many people listening who are so lucky to have a supportive partner, so maybe, you know, maybe that your business doesn't have, quote unquote, have to bring in this much money, but why the fuck not? Why not?
Why can't you do more? Like, what would that look like?
Yes, exactly. And I actually think that, you know, that's also why I included a lot of research about what does happen when women make more money, that yes. women are better investors, that women lead companies to bigger profits than men do, that we are actually really good with money, that we invest in our communities at much higher rates, that we invest in charity at much higher rates. So I really wanted to take it from, let's have the vision for what we want to create. And then let's take it all the way to the point where you are able to not only earn so much for yourself, but then you are able to give back in a big way. And I think that's yes. a really important piece. And I wanted people to have practical guides, because I think people say like, oh, just take a business loan, as if like that's something that's available to us. It's like, or just like things that are like, right. No one's giving me money. I don't have a rich uncle who's going to hand me a check. Like, it's not going to happen, you know?
No. Right. No, it's not.
And I'm giving my parents money. That's how this exactly. is working. This is not the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching you talk through the like what it's been like for generations, and that the fact that women and more specifically marginalized groups of people have just not had access to wealth previously was. I needed to have my eyes open as a white woman. Like, I know that I have so much privilege, and what does that mean for me? And how can I open myself up to lift up other communities? But also knowing that, like, that doesn't mean I have to make less. It means because I have privilege, I can make more and lift up those communities and help them in a big way. And I think previously I've felt required to stay smaller because I would somehow hurt other groups of people. And that's not necessarily true.
Exactly. I think when we make more, we can hire a diverse team, right? And give them great salaries. My team gets, they have health insurance, 401ks, profit sharing. And I'm yeah. able to do all of that because I earn more. And I remember I said this on an interview that I had a year or so ago, someone asked like, well, how much is enough? Like, will you ever stop growing your business? And I'm like, I'm black, so I will never stop. It's never enough. As long as my right. community needs more, I will keep earning more. I don't need to keep it for myself. First of all, I can keep as much as I want for myself. Let's be clear. I'm not saying
keep
make
a
money
shit ton.
For the sole.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not for the sole purpose of charity. However, that is a part of
right.
it. And that is the reality that when we see, and I have examples in the book of women from the first female millionaire in America, right? Madam C.J. Walker, all the way through to Rachel Cargill today, right? Like, there are so many women out there building successful businesses and they immediately give back. It's like, it is what we do. So it's not, we don't really need to worry about that part. We know we're going to do that, you know?
And I don't know if it was a byproduct of just being inspired from your book or Abby knows this. The other day I called her. There was a, it's called Curl Mix. It's a curl cream company. I'm not sure if you follow them or see them on Instagram, but they turned down a Shark Tank deal because they knew they were worth more. And they started the WeFunder account where like they were opening up equity into their business within the community. And they were like, we think we can raise a shit ton more by just asking our community and giving you guys equity in this thing that we think is going to be huge. And their tagline got me. They were like, we want to be the Black Procter & Gamble. And I was like, I'm here for this. I'm already on their subscription yes. for my daughter's hair. We use their products here in our home. And just like reading the book, having money conversations with Abby, we've been asking like just to word out loud of like, where's our next guidance and where like are we investing and what is Boss Project doing or what are we doing personally and how can we up level? And this thing popped up on my Instagram and I was like, you know what? I'm doing it. So it was only $250. That's all I had to give. But I was like, you know what? I'm fucking doing this because it feels really fun and it feels really cool. And I'm getting like yes. all their email updates now and they reached their goal in like 4 hours. It was insane.
Wow.
But I'm like, that just makes me feel so excited and so pumped up. And I'm like, if that's what I can do when I'm just like, okay, just fucking do it. Like, it doesn't matter. Imagine like as Boss Project continues to grow and we continue to grow, like the side effects of all of that. I'm just really excited about it.
Yes, I agree.
Well, I think one of the things we really need to highlight is this specific thought that like, I don't know. It not only blew my mind, but we mentioned the moms picking up the book thing. My mom can't shut up about it ever since then. Because, okay, if I ever grew up with a penny pincher, I grew up with a penny pincher. My mom like cut coupons. We shopped at Walmart to get the best deals. And like we always ate off the dollar menu. And we were constantly, especially when we were like thrust into poverty, we were forced to reduce our expenses. And you talk a bit, you don't spend a ton of time on it, but it was enough for me to wake up where you talk about saving your way to wealth versus making your way to wealth. And girl, I worked way too hard saving my way to wealth. I made my first million by saving. I did not make my first million by exploding and like growing and doing really incredible things. I lived below my means. I bought a shitty house and lived in a shitty house, even though we were making good money. Like I quite literally lived across the street from a drug dealer for many years. And I was like, what am I doing? And so my mom read this little snippet of the book. And ever since then, it's been about, I need to stop worrying so much about how to save on rent. I need to figure out how to make more. And what a powerful change you can have among people. I'd love for you to talk more about what that means to you, saving versus making, and how it can make an impact.
Yeah. So there was a study that was done that really looked at how do people become millionaires. And there have been lots of these studies over the years, over the decades. But this was a pretty recent one. And it talked about how there are a percentage of entrepreneurs, it's a smaller percentage, but there are a percentage of people who save their way to becoming millionaires. And it takes them about 30 years to hit a million. Like they save for very long periods of time, live extremely frugally for very long periods of time. And then they talked about those who had a business and how they built their wealth by investing in real estate or building a business, right? So like something entrepreneurial. And those folks, you know, were making millions and had a net worth of over a million within 7 years. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to do it in 7 years rather than 30. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I think about it, right, like I was broke as a joke and in fact had a negative net worth when I graduated from law school with all of my student loans. And, you know, in 7 years, I was a millionaire, you know? So I just think there's another way to do it. And it's, we think that that way is not available to us, but it actually is. It's just a matter of focusing on your earning potential instead of focusing on what you could save. How can you cut expenses? Because it forces us to make our lives smaller, to not take on exciting projects, to not make the moves we want to make. It's like, be small, contract, you know, be tight-fisted as much as possible for very long periods of time. And then you'll get this payoff and then you're older and who knows, anything could happen. You might not make it, right? So I'm like, no, I want to live now. I want to be responsible and disciplined. And, you know, I want to live now and feel abundant and feel like I can save, I can give back to the world.
I want to look and feel my best in my own skin. With Oak Essentials, my skin stays hydrated and glowy, no makeup required. Get a simplified skincare routine that boosts collagen production and leaves you with beautiful, healthy skin. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com and get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. The Moisture Rich Balm felt like instant relief for my dry skin. It felt like a facial at a high-end spa. I also snagged the Awaken Body Wash. It contains lavender oil. Lavender oil soothes skin with calming properties. Most soap leaves my skin feeling dry, but with Awaken Body Wash, it's hydrated and smooth. If you're already obsessed with the best-selling Moisture Rich Balm, the Moisture Rich Body Balm is the same intense moisture you know and love, formulated for a full body glow. Treat yourself at oakessentials.com. Get 15% off your first order with code BOSSPROJECT15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at oakessentials.com. Promo code BOSSPROJECT15. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire. We've had to weed through hundreds of applications in the past. We could have saved so much time if we'd used Indeed. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Was your spouse always on board with your abundant mentality and like growth focus, or did he ever, not intentionally, obviously, I would assume that your spouse is rather supportive, but did you ever feel like he hesitated on any of that kind of focus for you?
It's so funny. He grew up even lower income than I did, and his family struggled more than mine did. And yet he has a very abundant mindset. I have one of his quotes in my book, which is like, he used to always say, stop treating every dollar like it's our last. Like every decision we made, I'd be like, well, I don't want to spend it because blah, 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 blah. And he'd be like, I feel like I learned abundant mindset from him. However, I will say, as I was growing my business and continued to hire people, reinvest in the business, and like, I wasn't taking a lot from it because I was trying to build this thing into a 7-figure business. He did have moments of hesitation. He definitely had periods where he was like, so when's the part where we get paid? He's like, he thought I should fire everybody and just keep all the money. He's like, you're making $500,000 a year, like, and we're taking home peanuts. He's like, you should be, you know, fire these people and pay us more. And I'm like, that's lovely, but like, no, because we can grow this thing. I'm like, just stick with me. I'm just like continuously like selling him on this vision that I had, and like, just stick with me. I mean, we've gone through marriage therapy because of it, you know, because he felt like I wasn't paying us enough, because I was paying us probably barely 6 figures for our household, and he didn't work. He was a stay-at-home dad. So it was like, and we lived in New York. It does not go that far.
Oh, shit. I can imagine doing that in the Midwest, because been there, done that. Like, I brought my husband home a couple of years ago, and I think a lot of people would have been like, your business is successful enough, but I don't know if you personally are making enough to make that leap. Mm-hmm. And has he questioned me along the way? Yeah. Yeah. If you've been listening to the show for any length of time, you know I throw my husband under the bus a lot. Love him dearly. He's the best unpaid assistant we have around here, for sure.
We offer to pay him money to bring him on, and he's like, nah.
No, that's true.
I love it.
It's been so incredible to watch, and I'm excited for what's next. Like, you got this book. Obviously, people need to pre-order it, but where do you want people to go from here? After they absorb this book, what do you want them to be working on?
Yeah. Well, I want them to start thinking about how they're going to earn more. And I feel like they can have, you know, doing the exercises in the book, taking the actions that we recommend, they can be building their plan for building a seven-figure life, right? And a seven-figure net worth. So I want them to be building their businesses or deciding what's their wealth move, investing in real estate. There's lots of different examples that I give in the book to show people, like, there's so many different ways to make this happen. You get to decide, and it's really based on your natural skill set and talents. I hope that they will take action and start to build that. And of course, we have ways that we work with people in our community. That is a great next step for anybody who's done it and is ready to like go all in and wants a squad. But I feel like just the book alone, to me, it's very exciting that for $30 or less, if I were to coach you directly, this is exactly what I'd be saying to you.
I felt like you were in my corner yelling at me in the kindest of ways the entire time. Like, girl, get out of your own way. Out of your own way. And even to the point of you have whole sections of the book about broke ass thoughts and broke ass decisions. Yes. And then you're turning them around and not just telling the thought, but like, here's how you would reframe this very specific sentence that might be rolling around in your head, or God forbid you say it out loud to someone else. And it's a bit shocking when you read through the list and you're really honest with yourself. Like, not like, oh no, no, like, if really honest with yourself, I would venture to guess the majority of you have more broke ass thoughts and decisions going on than probably the $1 million ones.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I want to see is women and folks who come from systemically and historically marginalized communities making $1 million decisions and starting to own things, buying assets and becoming owners, becoming economic powerhouses, becoming investors in political campaigns, you know, so that we can actually make the change that we want to see in the world. Like, that's the full circle that we get to after we build that wealth. And that's why I'm like, come on, y'all, let's get on it. What you doing?
How do you think you approach the thought of, okay, I got all this going on. I'm excited. I'm ready. But what's the level of assessing risk along the way? That was the only part of the book that I was like, I definitely see the make the bigger decision, like get your thoughts wrapped around here. But how do you keep in mind what you're putting at risk all along the way and when it's okay to make the leap and when to hold yourself back?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, people think that they have job security. And they don't understand that the real job security is when you know how to earn money on your own. And that's why the book ends with a challenge. And I cannot wait till this book comes out and to see people using the hashtag and like actually accepting the challenge and challenging themselves to make money in a short period of time. Because I feel like once you see that, like, hey, I've got this bill, or hey, I've got this move I want to make, or hey, I just want to see if I can make an extra 10K. Let me see if I can make $10,000 in a short period of time. And they go out and do it. I don't even care about the 10K that you've just earned. I care that you now have proven to yourself that you can make money happen whenever you want to. And that is the ultimate job security. That's the risk you want to mitigate, is that I know I can take care of myself. I know that if this business were to implode today, I would not be selling off assets, right? It would not be a fire sale because, I mean, for sure, I have safety nets. I have a savings account. Like, I don't spend every dollar that I have. And I'm not suggesting that people do that. But there's a big difference between saving everything you have and spending everything you have. Let's find some middle ground where we're willing to invest in ourselves and invest in our income potential and earning potential and our ability to build wealth over time. We have a greater ability. And that, if there's one thing that people could take away, is that you can be a millionaire if you want it. You have that earning potential. It's just about you capitalizing on it. That's really all it is.
Yeah.
I found the list at the end of your book really helpful. And I sent that specifically, the screenshot of your book, before my mom stole my copy to her. So she could fast forward to the end of that section. And it's actually something we referenced in our coaching call today. We had a coaching call with a group of our own students, and a couple of them pre-ordered your book on the call. But we were like, literally, like, take the things that we are teaching you inside of this program with the list of other ideas that you can start implementing right now. And I think, I know we just touched on this, but the biggest reframe, and I think it's so beneficial for women also, and you touch on this so well in the book, where it's like, 99% of the financial beliefs that we have about ourselves are because, like, literally capitalism and society is against women, like against every time they turn around. And where does the penny pinching come from? And the responsibility of that falls to women every time. And who has the buying power in every family though? Women. And so it's just an interesting juxtaposition for the shame that we are built and designed to have about our spending habits.
Buying power, yes. Yes. But then they turn around and ask for permission.
Yes.
Which is problematic.
Yes. I was raised by a single mother. I have an entire family of single women. And seeing the proof is in front of our eyes and we don't even realize it, right? Moms who are raising children on their own with one income, working their ass off with no college education. Yeah, maybe they're not millionaires yet, but they fucking figured out how to make it work. And so I think that there's so much power in what we already know and what we already have and the ideas and resources that we do already have at our fingertips, but we have like these stories that we have to absolutely let go. So I thought that list was really helpful and it was really, really actionable for a lot of our listeners who are like, yes, but any of you yes, buts out there, scroll to the end of that part of the book to give actual examples.
Scroll.
Really, Emily?
Well, speaking of buts, there, I'm an attorney, right? So there's so many different chapters of the book where it's like objections, uh-huh. You know? And I'm like, I can hear you. And you're saying, I can't raise my price because XYZ, I can't uh-huh. hire people because ABC, and I'm going to smash all of those objections right now here in this chapter. So yeah, I don't just present information. I'm like, nope, let me go ahead and address all the BS that's going on in your head right now. I know it's there because it's been in mine. And also, you know, yep. I've coached thousands of women who have thought the same things. So let's handle that.
What do you think has been the biggest catalyst? Like once you got to the point where you were as wealthy as perhaps your biggest example growing up, like what happened that helped you catapult past that and keep going?
Yeah. Well, yes, I do think that you get to seven figures sometimes and it can feel a little bit like, now what? You know, mm-hmm. what do I do now? Like you're the, mm-hmm. you're the coyote and you've caught the roadrunner and it's like, oh, what do I do now? And what I do is exactly what I teach in this book. Like I go back to that $1 million vision and say, okay, let me reassess, what is my vision now? What is my dream now? What is my impact now that I want to have? And so you just reassess that dream and that vision, and then you realize, okay, there's more moves to make. Because even $1 million, right? It's a significant sum of money, but if you're running a business and it's generating seven figures, you do have a seven-figure asset for sure. Your business is a seven-figure asset if it's making $1 million or more. However, right, you start to realize like, oh, I've got team I want to hire. There are ways that I want to give back. I want to give benefits to my team. I want to serve however many more clients. And so there's always more future to be had. It really just is your vision. And, you know, if you get to a place where you have a $5 million business and you're satisfied, like by all means, stay at 5 million. Or if you're at 10 million and you're satisfied. But I think that's the point, is that we don't even allow ourselves to dream. And I think when people get to $1 million, they'll start to see like, oh, the fun is just beginning. Oh, there's so many more moves we can make now. There's investments we can make that we couldn't make before. Like it gets fun and exciting and you can get real creative in the projects that you could take on. So, I mean, all of those things, I have all kinds of things that I want to do. One of them being that we are working on as a team is building a fund for entrepreneurs from marginalized communities. And so it takes time to build up the amount of capital that you need to start a fund. And so that's one of the things that I'm doing to invest in other, you know, I don't know exactly what it'll look like, some form of grants that we will give and training that we'll provide to entrepreneurs. So like, of course, it has to be big because, you know, I never want to do anything small.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But that's what's motivating me right now.
Yeah. I love that that's what's motivating you. I think for me recently, I've had to like totally reassess because I just got to a point where, you know, you made that 5-year vision of what your life looks like or 10-year vision. And all of a sudden I was out of boxes to check. And I was like, wait a second, like I need to like start dreaming again. I think I had stopped dreaming for so long because I was just trying to get there, the proverbial there, like once you're there, then blah, 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 then I'll be happy, then I'll be satisfied, then I'll be whatever. By the way, the needle keeps moving and like then you forget what it's all for. And it's been inspiring to watch that I have seen your vision continue to blossom and you are continuing to go after bigger goals. And I'm like, wait a second, I don't think I'm dreaming big enough. Like, I think I need to think bigger and figure out a way that I can cast a bigger net that's going to impact more people and change more lives, because I'm watching you walk the walk, girl. And it's been impressive.
Well, we were also just tired. Like, I feel like that is tired.
Yes. It's important to take breaks. I think it's okay to be like, all right, I'm good now. Let me, trust me, I did that. I hit a million and I had another year where I hit around the same revenue again, which is fine. Like, I was having a baby and I was like, I just want to chill this year. I don't need to work that hard.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a whole year of like, fixing a bunch of shit and then stabilizing shit. And then, okay, we believe in ourselves again, but oh, got to take a breath. And so, you know, seasons of business are different. But I think coming into this year and chatting with you and reading the book, I definitely think has ignited a bunch of conversations. And it's just so funny how, you know, and this is how it works, right? You start to say the things out loud. And Abby and I, you know, we've been business partners for 6 years now and going on 6 years. And we have such a synchronicity. It's really weird, honestly. But we hopped on the phone. It was like January. And we've had these conversations every few weeks where it's just been like, do you know what the answer is yet? No, I don't know. We're just going to wait. Do you know what the answer is yet? Do you know what we should do next? No, I don't know. Okay, we're just going to wait. And then I feel like in the last like couple of weeks, just has been like, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity. Here's something you could do. And it's just been really, really interesting coming into what I feel like is a new season now for a lot of people in this space and for us and for you, and just seeing maybe what's going into a growth season for a lot of people, because I think growth inspires other growth. And thank you for being that for us and for our listeners and for readers of your book. And I hope that, you know, the domino effect of that is really, really, really great.
Well, thank you for saying that. One thing I do want to add is that I was sitting on the couch the other day, like playing with my kids and listening to music and like, you know, hanging out with my husband. And the thought that I was like, maybe I need to say this more. I don't know if I say this enough. And the point of the book is not to suggest that your happiness will come when you hit seven figures. I do want to be very clear about that, because the reality is that I'm like sitting on the couch doing nothing with my kids. And I'm like, there is no happier than this. Like, I don't think that I could feel happier, but like I have major deals happening in my business, big opportunities, whatever. And it's exciting. But I don't feel like, oh, now I'm happy. I just feel like, oh, this is amazing. We're doing this cool thing. That's super fun and it's exciting. Yeah. And then it's just like a part of your daily life. Yeah, you're making deals, you're making moves, you're doing exciting stuff. But it's not the thing that makes you happy at the end of the day. I think it's really about loved ones and being happy within yourself. You know, I do think that the journey of building a business and becoming a highly successful entrepreneur is one of personal development. And it's one where you really get to challenge your typical thinking, right? You really get to grow as a human being. You really get in touch with what makes you happy. You figure out what your true desires are. You don't have to do what society says. You get to make the rules. And so because you're doing all of that and grappling with all of that and having to grow so much as you go on this journey, like, I think you get more in touch with your own joy and your inner joy and peace, right? So I do think that that can be a big part of it, is like, you get to know yourself better along the journey. And that's actually what makes you happier. Not necessarily the millions. The millions are wonderful. I don't want to give them back. Trust me. I'm happy with the millions, but that is not the replacement for happiness for sure. As we can see, there's so many miserable, wealthy people, you know?
And one of the things that really hit home for me that maybe you want to reflect on yourself is, I thought the search was for happiness when really the search is for contentment. And happiness is fleeting. So is money. And money comes and goes and grows and doesn't, and risks happen and blah, blah, blah. But if we can find contentment in the small things along the way, like, for me, moving to this new house and having what I thought was my dream house, I realized it's not about the house. It's not about the money that it took to get to this place. It's the like sitting in my living room with nothing to do in the sunshine that I was really after. And this is maybe not my forever house. I'll probably go on to do all sorts of other things. And I can't even quite imagine what those will be yet. But knowing that you're a catalyst for so many people to have these huge shifts internally, not just for how they're going to make their money, but how they're going to live their lives in a way they never thought they could before because they lacked a example, perhaps. And if you can be that example for people, like, how incredible. Obviously, we want people to go grab the book. So can you talk to us a bit more about where they should grab it, where they should hit you up, how they can hang out with you more online? I'd love to hear more about that.
The book is called We Should All Be Millionaires, and you can get it at Target, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all the places where books are sold. And if you go to hello7.co/book, you'll get all the details about special offers we have. And we're doing a book tour, so you get to join us for that, which is happening, you know, for a couple of weeks. So that'll be fun. And yeah, find me on Instagram at Rach Rogers ESQ, or check out our podcast, Hello 7 Podcast. And those are great ways to come get to know me and hang out with us.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to see whose lives you change. And if you guys grab your copy, please share on social media. We want to see you like with all the goofy selfies.
Yes. Like,
take a selfie with the book. Tell us what your favorite quote was. If you heard about the book on the show, we'd love to hear about it. Obviously, tag Rachel and tag Boss Project. We tried to make it as easy as possible for you guys. So we made you guys a direct link. You can go to bossproject.com/millionaire, grab that, and then obviously go to Rachel's site to hear all about the special offers they have going on right now. We're so excited to hear what you guys think, and obviously are obsessed with the book. Probably will stop talking about it for several weeks, maybe years. We'll see. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our Creative Template Shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind the scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love this show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.